And greetings, friends around the world. Welcome to Tomorrow's World program, where we give you the plain truth about soon coming prophetic events and what you should be doing. Last week, I described Christ's return to this earth. But what will Christ's government be like? How will it function? What will the millennium really be like? This is your biblically prophesied future. This stuff is really going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Prophetic events are now taking shape that will definitely bring about these things. You need to understand, and you need to prepare. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith asks, what will the millennium really be like? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, what is your real future? Most of you sincerely believe in God, and you want to do what is right. I know that. But is floating off to heaven with nothing to do your genuine future? Does that sound exciting to you personally? Would you like to sit around and play on a harp for all eternity? Is the God who made your mind and gave you your talents, does He want you to eternally do nothing? Think about it. Does that really make sense? Is that what your Bible really says? No, it isn't. So wake up and smell the coffee, folks, because your Bible very clearly describes a far more interesting and challenging future, a future where you will be active and accomplish very worthwhile things, a future where you will have the thrill of making a wonderful difference in the lives of others. Now notice what your Bible actually says. Turn to Acts, the 3rd chapter, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The prophets all through the Bible foretold a whole new world. They described it over and over again. Think about the scars of modern warfare all over this earth. Think about the pollution which is wrecking our environment all over the earth. In the soon coming times of restoration, Christ and the true saints, those who are willing to really obey God and serve Him, they will literally clean up this mess. And we will stop the murdering dictators from their genocidal behavior in Asia, in Africa, and elsewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Paul asks. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? We, the saints of God, the true Christians, will judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Yes, my friends, we're in training now to be kings and priests under Jesus Christ, as I explained last time, and the Bible clearly says over and over. That's our calling, not to float off to heaven with nothing to do. Even the Apostle Paul clearly describes our future. He describes what's going to happen to us and the opportunity we will have to serve and to rule under Christ in the coming millennium, the coming kingdom of God, which we call tomorrow's world on this program. Notice back in Psalm 149, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations. These are the nations on this earth that the true saints of God are going to help subdue working with Jesus Christ, who is King of kings, king over the other kings in the world tomorrow. He continues to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Hallelujah, or praise the Lord, as it translates it for the literal Hebrew is hallelujah. We're going to have that opportunity to straighten out these dictators, to clean up this mess on this world. Wow, what a wonderful world lies just ahead. And we're going to help people, bless people, deliver people in a way that you cannot understand unless you really believe the Bible and follow this program. At this point, I invite you to write for a most informative and inspiring booklet entitled God's Intervention in World Affairs. This booklet spells out in detail the intervention of God in the major events of this world. It clearly portrays the organization and the way of life which will exist in tomorrow's world. This booklet, God's Intervention in World Affairs, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call now and write us or call us, request your copy of this most encouraging and inspiring booklet. Just ask for the booklet on God's Intervention.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, what will the millennium really be like? Turn again, my friends, to Psalm 149. That's where we were. Psalm 149, and I'm going to pick up in verse 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. The true Christians have this opportunity to take these dictators, to bind them, to stop them. Hallelujah, as it says here. And this means you and me, if we surrender to God through Christ and let him rule our lives now. That's the whole point. Are we willing to learn how to rule by being ruled by Christ now, by keeping his commandments now, by letting him live his life within us now, so God can trust us throughout all eternity as kings and priests in his coming family, in his coming kingship that he's going to set up, his whole rule over this earth and tomorrow's world. Turn to Revelation chapter 11 now, Revelation 11 and verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, not up in heaven, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Yes, Christ is going to reign on this earth, and the true saints of God will be with him, and they will rule with him. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you've taken your great power and reigned. Of course, Christ is God, and he's going to reign. And God the Father is going to reign through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The nations of this world are not going to receive Christ graciously. They will have been deceived. Many of you right there out in the audience now have been deceived as you sit in your living room or wherever you are. Have you understood these things? Have you had these things preached to you? Probably not. The Bible's not been preached that much. Just a little sweet Jesus message has been given. And you haven't been told about your future. You haven't been told about why you were born and where you're going and how to get there. Again, wake up and smell the coffee. Understand what your Bible says. I want to help you do that. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to make you mad. I just want to help you really understand what the Bible says all the way through, from one end to the other. And so he says, Christ is going to come back. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. These things are building up in world events in a specific way, with our nations, the American and British people, topping out in the power that we've had and beginning to be brought down as the American finances are in horrible shape. Our dollar gets weaker and weaker. The euro gets stronger and stronger. The terrible fires and floods and the storms and no doubt earthquakes to get much greater. And then disease epidemics sweep across our country. God says these things would happen because we have not obeyed God. Think about the atomic bombs, nerve gases, and even the horrible suffering that has gone on during our age because of man's unceasing rebellion, because of man's unceasing wars. Beautiful cities all over this world have been absolutely devastated by the weapons of war. Christ and the true saints will put a stop to this terrible suffering, as this verse up here we just read indicates. We will have that opportunity to straighten out the world. Notice Luke chapter 22, verse 28. But you are those who have contended with me in my trials. These 12 men had been through thick and thin with Jesus, and now he showed the reward they're going to have. Are they going to be up in heaven doing nothing? What does Jesus say? And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, plural, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And as we saw last time, and we'll see again, those tribes will be on this earth. All 12 tribes, not just the Jews, but Ephraim, Manasseh, and Zebulun, and Naphtali, and all the tribes will be in slavery and then brought back from slavery by Jesus Christ, given their land back again, the land of Israel, which will be greatly expanded in the Middle East, and Christ will be there, and under them, Christ will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's turn to another Old Testament prophecy here in Ezekiel. And again, the New Testament certainly validates that Ezekiel is the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 34, and let's begin reading in verse 22. Follow me again if you have your Bible. Notice what it says. It's been describing all the way through how Christ is going to seek out his people and bring them back from this coming slavery that's going to come on the modern 12 tribes of Israel if we don't really repent and get back to God. If we get getting deeper and deeper into immorality, if we keep getting deeper and deeper into murdering our unborn children, human beings, if we continue in our perverted sex practices, and now they're talking even about men marrying men and women marrying women, how far is it going to go, my friends? Think about it. Are we like Sodom and Gomorrah? God help us. God help you to understand what's happening in this nation and in Canada and Britain. We need to get it and get it from God's point of view. God is going to intervene. He's about had enough of this. He's given us our opportunities to know His Word, to have millions of printed Bibles, to have all men have a chance to know, but now we're not doing it. We're not obeying what this book says. We're walking in the imaginations of our heart. We're walking in the traditions of men. And so He's going to send us into a captivity to help us. He rebukes and chastens every son He loves. And He rebukes and chastens every nation He loves. He loves us. He's got to shake us. He's got to wake us up. That's why these things are beginning to happen. Verse 22 now, therefore I will save my flock and they shall no longer be a prey. This is modern Israel, the American and British descended peoples, the peace-loving nations of northwestern Europe, and the Jewish people, and most Jewish people live in the United States and British Commonwealth, or ex-Commonwealth nations. That's where most of them live. They're scattered among us, as well as in the nation that called itself Israel. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Again, as I explained last time, ancient King David is going to be resurrected from the dead. This is talking about the time of Christ's return and the resurrection. David will get his old job back. And I, the Eternal, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Eternal, have spoken. David ruled over all 12 tribes for 40 years. And later on through the Old Testament, you find these kings weighed according to what David did. And they obeyed God as their father David did. Or they turned away from God, unlike their father David. References like that. David and his reign was the benchmark, the standard by which they were judged. He was a man after God's own heart. Though you have in the coming tomorrow's world the government of God, Christ will be king of kings over the other kings. Then King David will be over all 12 tribes of Israel. Then under King David, you have the 12 apostles, each one over an individual tribe. You have a government, a literal government, yes, to be set up on this earth. And finally, world peace and blessings. Notice, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessings. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall dwell safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. They'll really know God, finally, that He is the ever-living One. He is the Eternal. And they'll come to know who God is. When I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them from the hands of those who enslaved them. Yes, the modern 12 tribes are going into slavery, and Christ will come and deliver them and give them peace and rain in due season and every blessing. That's what will happen in tomorrow's world. And boy, we'd better look forward to that. A literal government on this earth to straighten out the mess that man is making of this earth under the influence of Satan the devil. Turn to Daniel chapter 7, my friends. Turn to Daniel chapter 7 and notice what this great prophet wrote as he describes the time of the end and how this final terrible false prophet who speaks pompous words is going to be brought down. And in verse 26, but the court shall be seated and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to who? They'll be given to the saints of the Most High. Saints are people who are keeping God's commandments and living the right way. They're not perfect, but they have Christ living in them. And these saints will assist in restoring the way of God based on obedience to the Ten Commandments and the entire way of life that God reveals. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Yes, all dominions, obviously, on this earth. Again, my friends, I encourage you to call us or write us now for your free copy, God's Intervention in World Affairs. This booklet will paint a picture for you of the way things will really be organized and run in a few years on this earth. You will see how the great God is at work in human affairs. So call now and request your free copy of this booklet, God's Intervention in World Affairs. Just ask for the booklet on God's Intervention. God's Intervention. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, please consider the many inspired scriptures I've just given you describing the real reward of the true saints of God. It is not floating off to heaven with nothing to do. Instead, it is a future of teaching, of educating, and of ruling with love and kindness the confused masses of this suffering world and this mixed-up society. That's our opportunity. That's our calling. God talks about that from beginning to end. It's a real job, not going off to heaven, but helping straighten out this earth under Jesus Christ as King of the other kings. Notice Luke 19. Luke 19, beginning in verse 11. Now as they heard these sayings, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought, these men thought, the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They thought it was going to be a kingdom right then. He would kick the Romans out, set up a world government. They knew that he was not talking about some warm feeling set up in your heart. They knew that he was talking about a real government, but they thought it was going to be right away. So Christ explains, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. And most Bible scholars acknowledge that this is in fact talking about Jesus himself. He went off to heaven to prepare to come back as King of Kings. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. He gives us time and talents and opportunities to serve in this life, his saints, to see how much we will overcome, how much we will obey God, how much we will help others, what we'll do with the time and talents we have. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after. His own people rejected him, as you know, and they said, we will not have this man reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he'd given the money to be called, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. I've increased what you gave me 10 times. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. He didn't overcome as much, he didn't serve as much, but he did overcome and grow. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. So that's our calling, that's our job, and we need to appreciate it. A real opportunity to help straighten out this earth under Jesus Christ. Notice Revelation chapter 1 at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. It says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which shortly must take place. He said it's a real thing to show his servants things that were going to happen. And they are going to happen, my friends. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, and to all the things which he witnessed. He dedicates the book to God. It shows he's the one that's giving this, how it comes from God and the seven spirits and from Jesus Christ, verse 5, the faithful witness. Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of this earth. That's Christ, the ruler, not up in heaven, but later to be again over the kings of this earth. To him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us, Christ has made us. When God says something, it's going to happen. He has made us in his plan, kings and priests. We will be kings, we will be rulers, and we will be priests. And the priests of ancient Israel were the teachers. We're going to help teach people, kings and priests, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We will become teachers of the way of God, the way of life. But to teach that way, my friends, I think you understand, to teach that way, we must first learn that way. We must first surrender to God through the true Jesus Christ of the Bible and learn to live that entire way of life that's explained from one end to the other. As I said earlier, when the young man came to Jesus saying, good Lord, what things can I do to be saved? He didn't say, just give your heart to me. He said back in Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments, plural. That's what Jesus said all the way through the Gospels. Keep the commandments. And man, people have tried to do away with that. They've tried to water that down. Or they've tried to say, keep part of them, but don't keep the fourth commandment. That's been changed. That's been done away with. Or we'll water down all the rest or whatever. That's what goes on. But what is that way of life? Notice back in Revelation chapter 12 now. Revelation chapter 12. And the dragon, the Satan, of course, verse 17, was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not people that just believe in Jesus in a sentimental way, but those who obey God. Notice Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Not just faith in Jesus, but that absolute faith in God, that His way works, His way is right, and we don't have to water it down and change it all around. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Behold, Jesus says, directly speaking to us, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do His commandments, plural, all ten of them, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Yes, the great God tells us we've got to do what He says. Again, I want to refer you in closing to Galatians 2 and verse 20, my favorite verse in the Bible, where the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That is the way of life. Christ must live in us the same kind of life He did live, obeying God's commandments, keeping God's Sabbaths, God's true holy days, God's entire way of life that goes way beyond what many of you have ever been taught. We must be willing to repent, to change, and to sincerely learn that way of life and let Christ truly live His life within us, not just based on empty sentiment. Again, be sure and call now and request this powerful and most inspiring booklet, God's Intervention in World Affairs. And tune in every single week, my friends, to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.